Greetings tonight, in Jesus' name. Well, I was blessed to see all the questions that were asked. That's good. Yeah, no. It feels like we covered a few areas that we actually missed, and that was a blessing. Thank you, brothers, for taking the time to answer those, and they graciously allowed me to step out of it so that I can just prepare for tonight. So that was a blessing. So, amen. Well, this evening, I'd like to maybe just start with clarifying a few things. One of them was as an illustration I gave this morning that I heard not everybody interpret it the same, and it would make a substantial difference how you interpret it. I gave the example of a young couple that was in the park that had to just walk away from each other. No, they weren't angry. But there was such a strong emotional pull, they could tell, we can't handle this. And that's why, be wise, be careful. That's why it's a good thing to ride the brake a little bit as you go, so that you can arrive at your wedding day at the right time and not be emotionally ready for the wedding day a month early and then have to figure out how do we get through this next month without getting yourselves in trouble. And I also felt this morning there's a couple places where I made some unwise and unnecessary comments about wedding surprises and getting myself in boiling water. I just felt like, you know what, that didn't clarify anything. And I'm sorry about that. Try to keep everything so that it's upbuilding and honoring God, and just ask your forgiveness for those. Anyway, I'd like to reconnect with a Christ-centered courtship here tonight, and then I don't have a huge spread here tonight. I hope not to disappoint you, but rather a drawing in of the net to make this all applicable in each one of our lives personally, especially young people. A Christ-centered courtship, the title of the series. A Christ-centered courtship is a period of time between single life and married life. The decisions we make in this period will affect the rest of our lives. And we had five goals in this series. Five goals. Number one was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Number two, to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Number three, that as parents, we would get a burden to lead each one of our children into the perfect will of God for their lives. Number four, that each one of you young people would get a burden to seek after God, to find fulfillment and purpose in walking with God, and that you would seek maturity in your manners and character. And then number five, that young men and women would rise up to be godly fathers and godly mothers with a vision to raise another godly generation. Those are the goals we've been looking at that we want to accomplish through a Christ-centered courtship. Pretty full in here. Maybe we'll just all stand for a word of prayer tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, tonight, we bow our hearts before you. Here we are on Sunday evening at the close of these meetings, Lord, in one sense, our hearts and minds are so full of information that we could be bogged down. But God, we pray you would come and touch our hearts tonight. Lord, come and speak by your Spirit to our hearts tonight. Give us the grace we need to yield our lives into your hands, under our authorities, so that you can do the work you want to do in our hearts and lives, so that you can fulfill your purpose and will in each one of our lives. And Lord, that we can find fulfillment in walking with you, being laborers in your kingdom. God, would you come tonight and move upon our hearts? We want to hear from you. Do turn our hearts to what they need, where they need to be, Lord. God, we pray, help us to be honest with ourselves this evening. Lord, we do pray you'd help us to not critique ourselves and pull ourselves apart, but yet to be honest. Would you send your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to speak to us and speak to us clearly. Help us to make clear choices and clear decisions tonight. God, I beg you for grace in my heart to be able to share your heart and to communicate your word the way you want it said, in a way that can bring honor to you and can be edifying for each one listening. God, would you just come meet with us? We need you, Lord Jesus. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and meet with us and talk to us. Just talk to us. Be real with us, Lord. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this evening I'd like to start in Malachi chapter 4. I'm going to start in Malachi chapter 4, and then we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Well, I am just realizing I was going to put something on the board here that's not on the board that'll take some time. I don't know, would there be a volunteer to come? It's not real difficult if you can halfways draw. This will be nothing to you. To me, it'll be a little bit of a challenge. But do I have someone that'd be willing to come and do that for me? Now, I didn't tell you, we're going to have to share this paper, because I can't start without looking at this, and some of it right here is what I'm, this is an umbrella, and you can feel free to look at it however much you need. I don't need it right away, so you have some time. Malachi chapter 4 says, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, I'd like to clarify something at the beginning of this message that I've run into in the past when I shared this message. In a crowd this size, you end up with people that don't have a father. And they come and they ask, what shall I do? Do you have direction for me? And the first couple times I shared this, I overlooked it and didn't realize it. But what I'd like to say is, if you don't have a father, Find yourself a spiritual authority in your life that you can turn to, that you can get direction from. If you don't have a spiritual authority in your life, I'd encourage you, pray about it. Seek the Lord and find one. Don't make a fast move. Maybe even ask some counsel. But do find one. Make it a priority, because there are things in your life that you'll be blessed if you have a spiritual authority to turn to. I've also had it where someone had a father, but their father was not interested in giving any spiritual direction to them. Same answer. Find yourself a spiritual authority that you can put yourself under and go to for direction. And don't make it just a silent thing. Make it clear. You both know, okay, I need a spiritual authority. I'm asking whether you would consider being my spiritual authority. And you come back and you say, I'm okay with that. And then you begin functioning that way. The title this evening is Give Me Thine Heart. Give me thine heart. It is important, or this is an important ingredient if you want to feel the full blessing of a Christ-centered courtship. Stumbling over my words. This is an important ingredient if you want the full blessing of a Christ-centered courtship. And young people, tonight, I want you to know right up front that I plan to give an altar call in the end. And I'd like to explain it to you so you know what's coming. I don't want you making decisions at the end, all of a sudden feeling emotional and pushed, I got to do something. I want you to evaluate it. I want you to make a decision. And I'd urge you to not push it off. Don't wait for a better time, and yet you evaluate it. You make a decision. The altar call tonight is going to be about giving your heart to your father and to your mother concerning this thing about finding a life companion, with a commitment that I'm not letting my emotions go to anybody until Dad says it's okay and it's time. I'm not going to hear any requests from anybody. I'm not going to make any requests to anybody until Mom and Dad are clear. Now, you may be sitting here tonight and you've already made that commitment. You may be sitting here tonight and you've never heard of such a thing. And I want you to know up front, responding to the altar call tonight is not going to be a sign that you're an unspiritual person, but rather that you're a young person that says, I want what God wants for me, and I'm going for it. And when you respond to the altar tonight, I'm going to be asking your parents to come join you. And you have a meeting together. And you just go ahead and make that commitment right where it matters. That's what this evening is all about. And I'm telling you at the beginning so that I'm not springing a surprise on you. I want you to know where we're going. I don't want anybody to be pushed into it. And yet, when you make that decision, it needs to stick. It needs to stick. And you will be blessed for it. Guaranteed. And no, you don't need to be 18 and 20 to make this commitment tonight. If you're old enough to start having fuzzy feelings about a boy or a girl, you're old enough to make this commitment. And maybe you haven't felt anything like that. But in the sincerity of your heart at a young age, you just want to make that commitment. Amen. Amen. Laying a right foundation, give me thine heart. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. This heart, this word turn means to turn back. Not necessarily with the idea of returning to the starting point, but generally to retreat or to come to it again. And as I was looking at this subject of us fathers turning our hearts to our children, I was like, I identify with that definition. How many times over do we as fathers need to come to a point where we say, I've gotten distracted. I need to turn again my heart to my children. I need to focus again my heart on my children. How many times do we need that? It seems like we need that. Even though we're pressing in, we need that. And it's a reminder we need. So this evening, I can't help but talk to us fathers first. Fathers, turn your heart to your children. Be personally and vitally connected to their lives. Understand what's happening in their hearts. Care about what's happening in their hearts. And when they face those challenging times, when you see them walking through a valley that is difficult, be the priest in the home that falls on its face and cries out to God, Lord, we need you. I need you. My son or daughter needs you. Oh God, would you have mercy on us? And the older our children get, and the more challenging things are, sometimes as dads we find ourselves on our face saying, God, they've got to make it through this one. Don't let this destroy them, but rather, God, let this be a building block. Go ahead and let your heart get involved. They're beautiful tears. Sometimes they feel somewhat bitter at the point, time when you're bearing your heart before God. But do it. God's listening. God's listening. And he cares. You know, we hear that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And we hear about how effective mother's prayers are. But I venture to say, if us dads, if us fathers will get on our faces and cry out to God, turning our hearts to our children, and beg God to move in the hearts of our children, it just may be more effective than their mother's prayers. It just may. The reason that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world is because us men have slacked off. It shouldn't be that way. But oh, the cry for us fathers to turn our hearts to our children. I know you've been sitting here and you've just been listening to all this stuff all weekend long. And there's a lot of things going on in your heart and in your mind. And I think right at this very soft, tender spot, let's just go ahead and turn our hearts to our children with a passion. That doesn't say you haven't done it. I find myself doing it over and over. But let's go ahead and do it. And I haven't arrived. I hope you haven't either. We need to continue to turn our hearts to our children, seeking after God for them. And then beg God for direction. Sometimes there's wonderful teachable moments that come. Use them. See them. Be aware of them. Turn your hearts to your children. And you know, I'll tell you, young men, you're sitting here as single young men. The day you get married, you're embarking on a journey of first that you don't know what to do with. I don't want to scare you with that. And yet it is a responsibility. You're embarking on a journey of first that you don't know what to do with. But fathers, God knows what to do with it. And if we turn our hearts to our children and fall on our faces before God and we ask Him for direction, He will give us direction. He will lead us in very practical ways. And yes, our wives can be a real blessing at our side. Generally, it's us fathers that are struggling with keeping our heart focus in the right place. So many times, mom has burdens about the needs of the children, and we dads are getting all distracted. And the need is that we as fathers turn our hearts to our children. Well, it says also, let me just start over with verse 6, He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We're in a sad state in our country in this matter. The hearts of the children are turned away from the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers are turned away from the children. We're in a sad state. We see a lot of this curse around us. But oh, we do not have to partake of it. We don't need to live in it. But this thing does go two ways. He also came to turn the heart of the children to their fathers. And I hope I'm talking to none of you tonight. But just in case there's one of you sitting here struggling, don't pull your heart back from your father and your mother. Young people, children, don't clam up and pull your heart back from your father and your mother. Don't do it. It's a snare. It's a snare. And as we grow up, we begin to mature. It's very natural to face that thing. When we're trying to fluff our wings a little bit, and you know, I'm getting old enough to think like an adult, and yeah, all that is true. But don't lock up your heart. Don't close up your heart. Turn your heart to your father and to your mother. Children, make a decision to turn your heart to your father and to your mother. The heart is that deep inner you. That deep inner you. One of the definitions is the center of anything, of this word in the Hebrew. The center of anything. That deep inner you. Open it up to mom and dad. Turn your heart to your father. Like to turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 22. This is going to be the text of the rest of the message. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. My child, give me thine heart. My child, give me thine heart." Tonight can be the difference whether this whole series is a whole bunch of great information or whether it comes down and actually happens practically in your life as a young person or as a child here tonight. It can be the difference. Give me thine heart. You know, growing up, you children are growing up, or you young people, in a Christian home with parents watching over your hearts, caring about you, teaching you, guiding you, directing and leading you. But there's a day that comes when you need to make a decision to give your heart to your parents. They're asking for it. And they're not giving you a choice as you grow up from little on up. But then there comes a day of accountability when you become accountable before God and needed to yield your heart and will to God. And normally, at that point, something happens with mom and dad too. But tonight I'd like to address something beyond that yet. And it's this whole area of my life companion. It's this whole area about my future. And what's going to happen? What's the plan? Am I willing to give up my plan? Am I willing to be under authority in this sensitive matter that matters so much to me? Am I willing to yield that thing? Am I willing to give my heart to my father and to my mother in that matter and say, Dad, Mom, I'm not doing anything till you give your blessing. A young man, I'm not moving forward unless you're clear. You see my life, that I'm ready for it, and you're clear, and you're clear with what's on my heart. As a young lady, I'm not open to hear a request from anybody unless it comes from Dad. And I've heard of young ladies that have given this answer. They get a request. Oh, you have to talk to my dad about that. Wow, what a blessed freedom. What a blessed freedom. That's what I'm talking about tonight. That's what I'm talking about tonight. And looking at this umbrella of parental authority, underneath this umbrella is protection and safety. But out from underneath this umbrella is the world, is Satan, their self, and there's independence. The reason we would not want to give our hearts to our parents in this matter and yield it is because I have my own ideas. I'd like to be in charge of it. I want to be independent on this matter. What we don't realize is there's also a world out here. There's also a Satan out here. There's lots of snares and traps to get caught in. And it's not safe. But if we will make the decision to give ourselves under parental authority, we can have protection and safety, even in this matter of finding a life companion. And when God brings it all together, where everyone is clear, you will be so blessed. You will be so blessed. You'll look back and say, why would anybody want anything different? They have no idea what they're missing. I have 7 points down through here that I'd like to just look at in Proverbs 23. Going to start in verse 22. Number one, hearken unto your father. Hearken unto your father. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. The word hearken means to hear intelligently, to give attention, to be obedient, or it means obedience. Hearken, that means you're listening. You're going to give him your full attention. You're going to look at him with respect. You're going to give attention to what he's saying to the point that you're hearing it, you're understanding it, you're receiving it, and you're willing to act on it. Hear with your heart. Hear with your heart. Hearken unto thy father which begat thee. You know, as you consider your father, It's sort of a common known thing that young people grow up and their mind is really sharp and witty, and there's a day that they can think really fast and everything's just a clicking right along, and they start knowing they have a few answers. But we all know, when we get really honest, dad knows way more and mom knows way more than son or daughter know because of experience in life. And yes, a 44-year-old dad isn't going to think at the same speed that a 20-year-old son is going to think, or 18 or 16. That's okay. That's no problem. Still doesn't change. Who is more experienced? Who is leading? Who is giving direction? Hearken, listen, receive instruction. Don't think yourself to be better. And sometimes, probably many times actually, as a young person, you can be a tremendous blessing and asset to us parents that are slowing down. That doesn't make you a higher authority or better or whatever. Hearken, listen. There's experience. There's much to learn. Give it your heart. Number two, despise not thy mother. Despise not your mother. In the same verse, Proverbs 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And in thinking about these first two points, I believe if we're struggling in these areas, we are going to hold off tonight. We're going to hold off. If we don't want to hearken to our father and we despise our mother, we're going to hold off. If we have any of, oh, dad, or oh, mom, that needs to yield. That needs to yield. Even if we go through the motion, if we carry that with us, it's not going to do the job. That would be sad, to go through the motion and not actually get the benefit. This is a heart matter. Despise not your mother. Despise just simply means to disrespect. So what is your attitude toward your mother? Is she old-fashioned? Is she behind the times? Is she slow? Maybe she's dumb. Do you look down on her and disregard her? Those are sort of sobering questions. And I think it's good for us to take inventory. What happens in my heart toward my mother? What happens in my heart? How do I feel about her as a young person? Our attitude toward mom could be standing in the way of us getting the blessing. Love your mother. You know, she's the one that travailed in birth for you. Your mother is the one that travailed in birth for you. She took care of you as a little baby when you were helpless. She took care of you as a child in your growing up years. Countless, countless, countless hours and sacrifice. In fact, your mom may be wore out and tired and slow because of you. Really? I'm serious. She may not be hop, skipping, and running along anymore because she gave her life for you. How would I dare have anything but the highest respect and honor for Mom? She's prayed many prayers for you and cried many tears for you. Young people, there's someone very special in your life. And it's your mom. Whatever you do, don't you despise her. You want God's blessing in your life? Don't you despise your mom. Hearken to your father and despise not your mother. Number three, buy the truth. Buy the truth. The word buy has definitions like procure, especially by purchase, to own. It's also used as recover and redeem, amongst other words it's used as. But buy the truth. And the truth is stability, certainty, truth, and trustworthiness. And I believe as we look at the Word of God, this is the truth. Buy the truth. Buy it. Own it. Procure it. Redeem it. Go after it with all you have. We talked about this last evening. But seeking after God, having a fruitful life, walking with God, pursue it and buy it. Make purchases. Some purchases have high prices on them. How much of it do you want? You know, we can pay just a little price and get just a little bit. Or we can pay more price and we can get more of it. And I have a secret for you. You don't need any dollars or euros or yens or pounds to get it. God's saying, will you give me your heart? And it's connected together with giving your heart here this evening. I believe it all goes together in being fully yielded. Buy the truth. Buy the truth. And he doesn't stop with just buy the truth. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. The word sell here means to sell literally. It could be to sell as merchandise. It even has the definition here, a daughter into marriage and into slavery. But then there's one I really liked, to surrender. To surrender. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and don't surrender it. Don't give it up. Don't let it go. Don't compromise. But rather stick with it. Make commitments to the Word of God and continue to pursue the Word of God. Buy it, own it, and don't let go of it. Don't surrender it. Don't give in to that peer pressure. But seek after a sanctified and honorable life. A sanctified and honorable life. Buy the truth and sell it not. Be one of those Christians that's preparing for what God has for me in the future. Preparing. Buy the truth and sell it not. Number four is buy wisdom. In the same verse, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. Then he says, also wisdom. We're also to buy wisdom. We're also to purchase wisdom. We're to redeem wisdom. We're to recover it. Young person, this is talking to young people, to go after wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Oh, you can have a blessed life if you will give yourself to buying wisdom and going after it. That's a rare commodity in young people today, but it's available. You can have it. Seek the counsels of God, precept upon precept and line upon line. Find out what it says. You can have as much as you're willing to pay for. Buy wisdom and sell it not. Don't surrender it. Even if someone says, oh, well, you're being a little old-fashioned, or why are you so super sensitive? No, 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 don't surrender it. Don't sell it. Keep it. Buy wisdom. Buy wisdom. I think I'm right that John Dee's definition of wisdom used to be, or maybe still is, wisdom is doing what I would have done if I had known everything that was going to happen once it's over. And wisdom, in that manner, we don't get accomplished on our own. We need God to make that work. We need God to make that work because we don't know what's coming in the future. We don't understand those things. We're people. We have limitations. But God does not, and He's the one we're serving. And sometimes there's these little snares that you just see laying there. Something doesn't feel right about that. And wisdom says, turn the other way. And you avoid a whole mess. You never even know or want to know what you'd have got into. Praise God. Buy wisdom. And don't sell it. Don't surrender it. Number five. Buy instruction. Buy instruction. Here's a rare commodity for a young person to want to be instructed, to want to be taught. By instruction. Now this, you look at this definition, it says the first word is chastisement. Then it says reproof, warning and instruction and also restraint. Wow, what kind of instruction is that? And he says, go and buy it. Purchase it. Put your life effort into it. I'm going to spend time and soul money, so to speak, on getting instruction. Who likes chastisement? Well, if I'm willing to die to myself so I can spring forth in newness of life, I just might want that kind of instruction. You know, it is so easy for us to look at failure and say, I messed up again. I'm just a good for nothing. Well, that's from the pit. If we fail and recognize it, we have just now turned the corner to opportunity to be an overcomer. We have just turned the corner for opportunity. And if we see that thing immediately, when chastisement comes, when reproof comes, as an opportunity to learn, to grow. Warning, instruction, restraint. Restraint, the holding back of the reins, guiding of the parents. Buy it. Don't surrender it. Go after it. You want it. This is a special treasure. And in the end of it, he's saying, oh, my son, my child, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. That goes to the root of the matter here tonight. We won't make it through these things if we don't give our heart. Give me thine heart. Number 6, by understanding. By understanding. And it simply means understanding. It's also used as knowledge, meaning perfectly understanding and wisdom. And I have another one here, is to separate mentally, that is to distinguish, in general, to understand, to be able to think right, to be able to understand and think right. You will notice people out in the world that are living after them, their own selves and their own desires. They think different. They don't think the same. We need understanding according to the Word of God. We need to find God's way of thinking about things. And therefore, if we're buying the truth, if we're buying the truth and not selling it, if we're buying wisdom and not selling it, we're buying instruction and not selling it, we have a good chance to be able to buy understanding. Understanding. You know something young people often say, or sometimes say, I hope nobody ever here in here has, but I'm going to give you space that you might have. I just don't understand why. I'll be honest, I have said that. I just don't understand why. Well, I'll give you this space. We don't always understand, and we don't always have to understand. And yet, when we get understanding from God, it's amazing all of a sudden so many things will make sense to you that didn't used to make sense. And what a blessing to see young people be able to think with understanding according to the Word of God like mature Christians. That's a blessing. I remember one evening we had a young man at our house, and he was here for, maybe I'll leave it, an undisclosed reason. Actually, he was here for, came with his brother. And he needed a place to go, and our house is one place he went. But he was a young man that had understanding, he had wisdom. He liked instruction. What else did I have here? Getting myself mixed up. He liked the truth. And he sat there at our supper table and began to talk. We started asking him questions and he began to talk. And he just overflowed. And we almost sat there with little bird, like little birdies with our mouths open in amazement. How beautiful. He had understanding. He was buying the truth and not selling it. And he's a fruitful young man. God has been blessing him and using him. But that's what we're looking for. By understanding, don't surrender it or sell it. And number 7, give me thine heart. Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. This word heart has a number of different definitions. It first of all means the heart. It is also used very widely for things like your feelings, the will, and even the intellect. And the last one is likewise for the center of anything. Young person, the call tonight is give your heart to your Father. Give your heart to your Father. Give your heart to your Father in the depth of your feelings. Give your heart to your Father in the depth of your will. Give your heart to your Father, even in the depth of your intellect, all those smarts, all those answers you've come up with. Give your heart to your Father and your Mother. Give your heart, the very center of your being, to your Father and to your Mother. You've been in a safe, protected place. But you're in a time of life where you can begin to say, I want to make my own decisions. And you can actually step out from underneath this umbrella and try the wings of self for a little bit, see if I can fly. Maybe see how it feels to be a little bit independent, or not a whole lot. Maybe sometimes we even just want to make a little journey out here, spend some time, and then we want to come back to safety. That wasn't long, wasn't major. Now that was sort of fun, so we do it again, and we come back, and we do it again, and we come back. Every time we're out here, we're in unsafe territory. Every time we're out here, we're vulnerable. Every time we're out here, we're walking through the snares, wondering when we're going to get caught in one. But down deep in your heart, there's an issue when we do that. You know, it may be tonight that we're staying at home with our parents, but that issue in my heart, I have her all nicely padlocked. I have the right clothes on. We go to church. I try not to do anything that looks like I don't like Dad or don't like Mom. Try not to snap at my brothers and sisters. But there's an issue in here. Son, daughter, give me thine heart is the call that God has for you to bring your heart to your Father and to your Mother. Tonight, the call is that you bring your heart, the depth of your being, in your feelings, your will, your intellect, and your very center. And the call is that you voluntarily give your heart to your parents. You voluntarily give your heart to your parents. You give your heart specifically to your Father, but also your parents, in the area of finding a life companion. I'm bringing this thing to you, Dad. I'm not doing anything unless it's under your authority with your blessing. And we need to make this commitment to not let our emotions go to anyone until Dad specifically, and I would say Mom and Dad, approve of it. We need to say this verbally. Not just a decision in the heart that I'm going to start acting a certain way. We need to speak it with a voice. I give my heart to you. Dad, Mom, I give my heart to you in this area. Maybe, even if you do it with your voice, you maybe want to go home and write a letter. Bring it to your parents. I think that's a blessing. And if you're making this commitment to give your heart, don't be sitting or standing there staring at the floor. Look Dad straight in the eyes. Young people, look Dad straight in the eyes. I mean, something happens in your heart. You look at the floor, the padlock's still on your heart. But if you can look Dad straight in the eyes and just tell him honestly, I'll guarantee you one thing, you're not going to do it without meaning it. It doesn't work that way. looks Dad straight in the face, in the eyes, and with sincerity, make that commitment. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Could we kneel for a word of prayer? Dear God, we come to tonight in Jesus' name, and we pray, come and help us here tonight in the decisions we're going to be making. Lord, there's precious souls all over this room. And you see some sitting here with the decision made, I'm going for it. You see those that are hesitating, tossing. And oh God, I pray, you would just come and touch that heart. Help them to yield, to surrender, and to find the blessing. And there's those that are saying, I'm not doing it. God, I pray, would you have mercy? And keep speaking and moving in each heart like that. God, we pray for a household surrender here tonight. That being as families and also as a church body here on this matter. God, would you bless us here tonight? Would you bless us, oh God? And give us a sweet freedom of just being totally surrendered and totally yielded on this issue and to lay aside our own agendas. Help us, Father. Lord, you know where each one is at tonight. Whether it be a young one that's barely old enough to understand, to older ones that are well-aged to be able to get married. And oh God, we wonder how many different ways it applies to our lives. Certainly not the same. Would you sort it out by your Spirit in each one of our hearts here tonight? Lord, come, give us a freedom to just listen to your voice and to say, yes, Lord. Bless each father and each mother here tonight with grace and wisdom in their hearts. Bless our times together as families. With our young people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think maybe at the beginning, let's have a song tonight. And at the beginning, we may just have it open for you young people to come. I'm just trying to think how to coordinate it all. Do you have any thought? That's what I was thinking, yeah. And divide up in separate. Amen. Okay. I don't know if you all heard that, but I think with the space we have, let's just have it that you young people respond, and then after some time, we'll make opportunity for the parents to connect with you, go downstairs, wherever, where you have a private time where you can just meet alone and deal with your decision. Again, you're not some sinner coming up here tonight. You're saying yes to what God has for you. What shall we sing?